Welcome in, special edition here, Maize and Blue Review podcast, post-spring game. It's reaction time, overreactions, underreactions. We're going to be talking top performers, maybe some depth chart stuff that stuck out a little bit, some concerns, maybe. Again, try not to overreact too much to a spring game, but obviously pretty cool day in Ann Arbor as Team 144 was back in the city celebrating their Big Ten championship, their Rose Bowl win, their national championship, getting their rings, Jim Harbaugh getting his tattoo, man of his word, just a really cool vibe around the program. And I'm going to go to my guy, Josh, here in a second here, but my biggest takeaway, I think, was since Harbaugh has left, Moore was made head coach. We've talked so much about the continuity factor and this program staying the same while it adapts and changes. And that stuck out to me today, that the physicality, the competitiveness for a spring game, and then just the mood around the program. And some of that can be credited to some guys we're going to talk to in a minute here. But there definitely was a passing of the torch vibe, and a lot of the things that made Michigan successful the last 3 years seem to be on display today. So like I said, we're going to dive into it. Those of you joining us live now, again, we want this to be as interactive as possible. Feel free to throw some questions into the comment section. I am getting over a cold, so if I sound terrible, I got to cut away for coughs. I apologize. But anyway, joining me as always, Intel Insider Publisher, Mr. Maize and Blue Review himself, Mr. Josh Hensky. What just helicopter view real quick. We're obviously going to get into it, but what stuck out to you today? Like I said, for me, it was the physicality, but was there anything that really stuck out to you today? Again, as much as a spring game can show you.
Yeah. I kind of think for me, I think what stuck out for me the most is probably my, not to sound like egotistical or whatever, but my own reaction to how I was feeling about this game. Like coming into this game, I was kind of like, well, do they have the goods? Do they have what it takes to make another run? And I feel more encouraged today than I was yesterday about this program and where this thing is headed. Obviously you need a little bit more consistency out of the quarterbacks, but I liked what I saw. You know, the defense looked good. It looks like they have depth, you know, building a lot. I liked what I saw from the young guys. So I think the takeaway is that I was far more encouraged than I thought I would be coming out of this game. They definitely look like they have some weapons on both sides of the ball. You know, a couple of guys really stood out to me, and obviously we'll talk about that soon. But yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, they've got something for sure. I definitely think they just need to, you know, find that consistency, whoever it may be at the quarterback battle. And I think we can't really determine what that quarterback battle looks like just from a spring practice, because that's the only one that we've seen, and there's a lot more that has been going on behind the scenes. But I think it's pretty clear right now who had the better day, and who's been pretty consistent all spring in terms of being out in the forefront. So yeah, they just need a couple of, I think, you know, they do need to attack the portal. You know, a wide receiver depth probably needed, but you know, I was encouraged. I liked what I saw. You know, I definitely wasn't thinking that, you know, this is a doomsday scenario. This team is going to absolutely stink, but, I think they needed a couple of guys to emerge, and I think they're getting that. And, yeah, I'm really curious to see what this team's going to look like come September.
We'll start with the QB. I was taking notes throughout, and it just kind of ended up being like a position by position thing, because guys just kept showing up. You're right. It is just one spring game, but to be fair, I feel like what we saw today kind of matches up with what our intel has been all spring.
Yep.
Right. This definitely feels like Orji versus Warren at this point. We've heard Davis Warren. And again, for those that don't know, he didn't talk about it a lot. I spoke to him early in the spring. His injury that he had last year was to his throwing shoulder.
Yep.
And he played through that last year. He told me at the start of spring, he felt great and absolutely was a part of this competition. We've heard from multiple people, he's arguably the best passer in that competition. We saw that today. He looked really, really good. People forget he was lined up to be the backup last year. There was thought that he could be in this starting battle this year. Obviously that injury kind of derailed things, but this is a guy who's had to face a lot of tough battles in his life, right? He's beat leukemia, and the COVID season kind of threw his recruiting for a loop. So he's somebody who could have been a high 4-star recruit back in the day, came into Michigan as a walk-on, has kind of waited his turn, thought he had a great day. And then, of course, the other story, what we expected, Alex Orji.
Yeah.
Is the other guy that just it feels like, and I don't want to steal your words, because excuse me, you said it pretty well, but we've just talked about either the stuff up front, whether it's the coaches talking about Orji, the players talking about Orji, he's been front and center throughout spring. And then, you know, he's the guy on the graphic for the spring game.
Yeah.
I don't know if people noticed at the ring ceremony today, the main table of JJ McCarthy, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, the other guy there was Alex Orji, right? Yeah. So he's just been treated like the guy they want to be the starter in many ways. But what we've heard from spring, right? He can make plays. We know what he can do with his legs. He's got a great arm. It's been that inconsistency that's really kind of held him back.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I were talking about this with Brock in our group chat kind of about Orji. You know, I think it's abundantly clear that Michigan wants Alex Orji to take the starting job. And now it's up to him to take it. So he's got the goods. I mean, that touchdown run that he had, the first touchdown run that he had, I'm going to call that second one a touchdown run, because he would have broken that tackle.
Yeah. If
that guy came in.
Well, the guy they gave the credit to the sack for missed him.
Yeah.
I think it was Hayden Moore, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, we'll talk about the youth too, but there was a lot of good things from the youth. But yeah, I think if you can see that side of Orji where, you know, he can create things when plays break down a little bit and can find the consistency in his passes, finding the right touch, and, you know, combining more with, I mean, obviously he's not playing with a full team. He's not playing with a stacked deck. Either none of these quarterbacks were really.
No, the O-line was the most banged up unit on the field today.
Yeah. So. I mean, you can make an argument that Warren probably had more weapons than Orji, but you know, as a playmaker, you got to make do with what you have and you make plays. So I think there's a lot to like about Orji, and we've said this the whole time. You know, if he can avoid the turnovers, can lead scoring drives, you know, he did it, you know, technically twice. I think they'll be fine. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, filling JJ's shoes is going to be nearly impossible. I mean, it's JJ is
impossible.
It's a generational, it was a generational quarterback. So, and they don't have JJ McCarthy on that roster. I mean, it's just what it is. And so the next guy doesn't have to be JJ. It just needs to be good enough to A, take care of the football, B, be able to lead a team, and C, find the consistency moving forward. So again, a lot to like. Warren, Davis Warren too. I mean, he's making a case. He's absolutely making a case. Finding Fred Moore on that long ball, I think he was probably the more consistent passer of the day. Had the most touch on his passes. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting situation. I mean, would they think about going two quarterbacks, you know, with Orji throwing in his own little his style too? But I mean, he's shown that he can make passes too. So, man, it's going to be interesting for sure. It was a clean game for the most part without their quarterbacks besides Jane Denegal. And I think that was the most important thing I wanted to see. You know, and now they need to find the consistency and, you know, I would like to see one of these guys, you know, play with a stacked deck and with the starters on with everything. So, yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is that, you know, this is clearly an Orji versus Warren type of thing. And I couldn't even tell you which one would be ahead after watching it. I mean, they're both pretty level. So, you know, if it ends up being a two QB type of thing, so be it. As long as they can win them games. I don't think it really matters who the quarterback is, as long as they can have a guy back there that can win.
Well, and what happened on the field, separate from just reading into who played when, right, is something you can pull away from this. Orji and Warren were the starters, and Denegal came in, and the first chance he got to come in, almost unfair, was, hey, go run a 2-minute drill real quick.
Yeah, right, right.
And I told you, I thought he looked pretty anxious, which is not hard. I mean, again, go run a 2-minute drill. That's your first action. Jayden Davis looked like we thought Jayden Davis would, right? Mm-hmm. He on that scramble when he got out of the pocket, gave his receiver a chance to make a play, Jair Hill, with a nice pass breakup. Some Saner still vibes on that play. And then, you know, we've heard he's probably going to head to a red shirt. And Denegal is just a guy that we just haven't heard his name in this battle. And again, when it came time for the game to be back and forth and competitive and the starters went back in, it's Orji and Warren. So regardless of the, hey, we don't want to overreact too much, based on how they were used today, it's clear those are the two guys right now. And Jack Tuttle obviously has been hurt through spring. He's a guy that, you know, even coming here, he talked about his future of coaching, right? That's where he's going next. He would have been a GA this year if his medical hardship wasn't approved. It was.
Yeah.
He gets another year. He's always felt like kind of a high floor guy, but even in year 7, this isn't a guy that's had starter level experience really, right? So we didn't know if he'd take that leap or if he's just a leader in the room, solid backup, whatever it might be. Until he's healthy, we don't really know where to peg him in that.
Right.
So I did want to talk about the O-line. The two guys I didn't see today, Josh Preve and Giovanni El-Hadi, in terms of starters, did see Crippen out there. Saw Miles Hinton for a brief moment at left tackle. What stuck out to me, and again, if I'm reading into this too much, fine, but I just have to react to what I saw. For the blue team, Andrew Gentry, who's been talked about as a battle at right tackle, played at right tackle. For the Mays team, the right tackle was Tristan Bowes, which wouldn't really mean anything except for Jeff Percy was on the Mays team at right guard. So we've heard it's kind of been Percy and Gentry there. Percy originally was a left tackle. He actually got a start in 2022, backing up when Ryan Hayes was injured. Last year, he played mostly right guard in mop-up duty.
Right.
And it just was interesting to me that it was Bounds at right tackle for the Mays team and Percy at right guard. But I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape in terms of O-line, D-line. But like we started off the show with, they were physical in the trenches. And we saw Amir Herring was finishing blocks, dude. They had some pancakes, right? Yeah. After the whistle. These guys were physical in the trenches for a spring game. But I'll have to go back and watch it to get my read on position battle. But I did think it was interesting to see Gentry at right tackle, but Percy playing at right guard in terms of that battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think the offensive line as a whole had a pretty good day. I mean, I think both lines really had. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good comments in here.
I'm trying to get to them, guys. I appreciate
it. Yeah. No, there are a lot of good observations and good comments here. I mean, I think both lines had good moments. I think Wink Martindale's blitz packages were called at the right time. I mean, they're going to be an aggressive defense. And I know some people, and I'm not saying all people, are kind of nervous about the blitz because they have, you know, NOM flashbacks about Don Brown and his blitz packages. But I think the big thing about what Wink does is he's got guys in the right spots. And I think the big thing with getting people in the right spots is also having players who know where to be in the right spot. Guys like DJ Waller, who had a really good game. You saw bits and pieces from Jaden McBurrows, which is big. Jair Hill, big pass breakup on that really nice ball from Jayden Davis to O'Leary on the sidelines there. I think that's the big difference between having, you know, a Wink Martindale style of aggressive defense and a Don Brown defense, where you're not going to have a safety on an island against their fastest receiver and get burned. I think guys are in the right spot. And seeing the youth step up was really big too, because the Michigan's theme this entire spring was to build depth. You know, it doesn't matter where it came from or who it was getting depth. And they look like they've got a couple of pieces, man. Like, just on the defensive lines too. You saw TJ Guy have a really good game, and he's been consistent in having a really strong spring. So it's good to kind of see what you're hearing translate to the field. So this is a pro defense, and this defense is going to be elite. You know, it's going to be elite. I have no issues. And again, it's hard to really break down a team when they're, you know, fragmented and playing against each other, and, you know, the ones are, you know, being paired with the twos and things like that. But yeah, I mean, to see even that, even with that point too, and to see that and have them, you know, a pretty good day overall. I mean, both offense and defense has had their moments. It's encouraging. You know, there was a lot to like. The freshmen made some plays. You know, there was just all levels. There was guys making plays, and that's, you know, super encouraging for the future. And, you know, it's good to kind of see this play out a little bit, to kind of ease some. I know a lot of people had some fears, and, you know, there's still issues and areas that Michigan can address through the portal. But I think, you know, as I said earlier in the show, coming into this game and coming out of it, I feel a lot better. You know, I think, yeah, this team is going to be aggressive. I don't think there's going to be, you know, a whole, you know, nothing's going to change. You know, it's going to be Michigan is going to be Michigan. And, you know, as long as they remain Michigan and continue to be the Michigan of the past couple of years, I think they'll be just fine. So, yeah, a lot to like. Yeah, there's a lot of positives that came out of this, far more positives than negatives, which is always a good thing. You know, that hasn't been that way in years past during the spring. So I think the future's bright, you know, not just even this year, but outside, you know, going in the future too. There's a lot of pieces there that, you know, that could make a step and take a step forward. And you really, you know, you've got something there for the future for sure.
You talked about a few top position battles I kind of wanted to get into. We'll start with the CB2. DJ Waller had an interception and then a fumble with that awesome peanut punch. That was a really good play.
Yeah.
But he looked good in coverage throughout the day. Jair Hill was great in coverage today. He brought up the pass breakup. He had a nice open field tackle as well. And at the nickel spot, Zeke Berry and Jada McBurrows basically did what we've talked about, which is hit hard.
Yep.
They are physical corners that can get in the backfield, disrupt the run game, get tackles for loss, and make their presence felt, which is very Mikey, right?
Yeah.
We've said all along, you're not replacing Mike Sainer still with one player. But with CB2, Waller and Hill, both of those guys lined up in the slot and kind of in a safety spot today. And you've got Zeke Berry and McBurrows. We saw McBurrows go outside, which we know he's been doing in the spring. Also can line up in the slot. Zeke Berry, nickel in the slot, some safety work. Those four guys, I think it was pretty clear today in coverage impacting the run game. We saw Waller coming off the edge at one point as well. Those four guys appear to be the committee in terms of replacing Mike Sainer still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And as we've talked about ad nauseum, you know, you can't replace Mike Sainer still. However, if you can replace Sainer still's production with hell, even two or three players, that's great. Awesome. That's more than fine, because you've got the future there. You're getting some good snaps, and, you know, if it takes more than one player to kind of hit, you know, to make up for that loss of production, perfect. You're doing just fine. You know, there's no issues there. And to build off a Waller too, on that same drive, he also blew up that fourth down play to kind of make up for that fumble. But I don't really blame him for that fumble. That was just a damn good punch. I mean,
great
that was
play, man.
Textbook coaching right there to make that fumble. So,
and again, to the Michigan culture, that's a walk on.
Yeah.
Making that play, man.
Yep. So. Yep, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I'm encouraged with CB2. I mean, they have options. They can, and that's kind of good with this. What they want to do, they want to build depth. So if they can rotate guys in and out there, they'll be fine. I mean, I think it was Joel Klatt that pointed out, you know, tackling has been a strength for Michigan for so long. And I know it kind of sounds silly to credit tackling, but it's so important to have textbook tackles and to, you know, not have guys break out, miss a tackle, or have a guy break through a tackle to, you know, snowball the snowball things. But it's just, it's so simple, but it's important. I just think they continue to tackle really well. You know, open field tackling as well. I'm intrigued with what they have. You know, Zeke Berry, another guy that we heard a ton about during the spring of having a good spring, and
he looked good today.
He looked the part. So I think, man, it's just that there's guys that look the part, and now they just have to translate that to Saturdays in September. And you know, again, we're not even talking about pieces being added later on. Quentin Johnson's going to be added. You know, some guys didn't play full games. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of positives in that defensive back group, because
and you're led by Will Johnson,
right? Exactly. It feels different, because last year we were kind of talking about that too, like, you know, oh, who's CB2? Who's going to be next to Will? And then, you know, we were always talking about, you know, Mikey being involved in there, but now it's kind of like, well, who's CB2? Well, you know, does it? They've got guys. Does it matter? You know, like, they've got, you know, Jair Hill, who played well. They got Waller, who's made plays. So they've got depth now. So now, like, yeah, CB2 is mission. Now CB2 is like an issue a little bit, but they've got, it's not at the same time. It's kind of an interesting, interesting thing there.
And we didn't see a ton of them today, but Keyshawn Harris is still on the team. Cody Jones played a little bit today. He's a guy that can kind of do the nickel corner split as well. Miles Pollard was out there. Not a great day. He got spun around a couple times, but it's kind of a consistent theme with this year's Michigan roster, which is, I feel like, especially on the defensive side of the ball, there is elite talent at the top.
Yep.
The question was the depth behind it and maybe some of those rotational pieces. The secondary is looking like, hey, Waller got some run last year. Hill got some run last year. Zeke Berry was blocked by a very good, you know, secondary of Rod Moore and Samus still, obviously. McBurrow, same thing, kind of blocked. Those guys look like they could be ready to step up. And the other position where I kind of felt that way and had that concern was edge. You know what you have with Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart.
How about that PBU, by the way? Derek Moore, PBU. Hello.
Wink Martin, they all love that. Yeah. So, but I don't want to say concerned, but that there's a question with depth there, right?
Yep.
We've heard a lot of good things about TJ Guy this spring, that he was finally going to be able to take that step at the other weak side spot. Eno Etta's the other guy that's gotten a lot of hype at the strong side. He played inside a lot today, again, with Mason Graham not really playing, Kenneth Grant not out there. Like, I don't want to read into that too much. But TJ Guy had himself a day.
Yeah.
Amir McCumba, who came here as a project, we knew he would take time. I tweeted, he looks ahead of schedule to me. He physically has transformed in a year. Yeah. He stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn Bennett had a play today. And one of our darlings of last year, freshman Breon Ishmael, gained like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? People were like, is he going to be a linebacker, safety? Nope, he's an edge.
Yeah.
Right? He made some big plays today. And then Dominic Nichols.
Yeah. Yeah. Cole Sullivan too.
Yeah. I've got him with the linebackers. We had Cole Sullivan. That's why I think he's going to move to the edge.
Yeah.
That play where he put Herring on his back, dude.
Yep.
The Chase Winovich. We'll keep Sullivan an edge. Fine. That group, I've gone for, I think my biggest jump in terms of how I feel is an edge. I am very, very excited about that edge group. Now, they just fit, again, spring game, but just physically how they looked. I remember the first time I saw Derek Moore in his spring game. That's how I felt about Dominic Nichols today. He looked like a grown man.
Yeah.
Next to other grown men. Right. So I just came away blown away by this edge group. And I mean, just tons of plays by them. And again, patched up offensive line, blah, blah, but just from a physicality standpoint, some of the plays they made today, that's a really good group. And again, headed by Moore and Stewart.
Yep. Yeah. No, as I said, you know, the theme today, a lot to like. It's, there's just a lot of premise, a lot of promise there. You know, you'd like to see a little bit more from the interior, but still, I mean, like, again, that's just nitpicking at this point, because you didn't see much of Graham. You didn't see much of Grant. I mean, that those two guys are going to command a ton of snaps, and you see that they're offering guys out of the portal at defensive tackle. I know they offered the Kent State guy, whose name escapes me at the moment. He would be a nice addition too. So
CJ West, I think.
Yes, that's it. Thank you, CJ West. Yeah,
he's a 2.0 man.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll kind of see where that kind of develops, but I think that's a position where they could probably afford to add a guy receiver as well. But the edge, again, if they're leading from the edge, you know, that's excellent, because you've got Grant and Graham there who are going to do their thing. So they just need contributions from anywhere. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be, you know, leading America type of contributions, but they've got guys, which is good. I mean, we knew that on defense. I mean, this isn't breaking news right here that Michigan's got guys on defense. I think this group has a chance to be elite again. I think in order to get to that elite level, you're going to have to need some guys stepping up, like, you know, an Enoetta and guys like that, you know, the depth of guys and all that thing too. So, to see a handful of early enrollees stepping up, that's more than enough for me to see to think, okay, they've got some guys here. I mean, Nichols has that athletic type of frame that you could be like, all right, he has another level to his game that he can reach. And you can see the projects, you know, like the Ronnie Bell's or Kendrick Bell's brother, Kendrick Bell, man, I'm having an issue today. Kendrick Bell, you can kind of see the project, you can see the plan. And, you know, maybe these guys are ahead of schedule. I mean, that's what the important thing of enrolling early is. You get valuable practice time. But, yeah, good. Just really good stuff, you know, from these young kids. And, the edges are going to be nasty this year. And they're going to need to be. They're going to need to be. And that they're going to be, you know, the catalyst of controlling this, and which also helps, you know, the defensive backs as well. So it all goes hand in hand, obviously, but it's just, I think there's a lot to like, there's a lot there. You just kind of need to see that consistency play out and not just have flashes. I think that's the most important part. And yeah, you'll see flashes in a spring game, because that's all you've seen from this team. I mean, besides clips from social media and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's promising for sure. And I think this defense has a chance to be elite again.
I'll mention the early enrollees real quick, and then we'll get into what I would consider not concerns, but just maybe the group that we didn't see as much depth from. But yeah, today, Blake Frazier played left tackle. And yeah, the biggest thing he needs to do is add size. So I was impressed that they had him out there. He looked good. Granera played some guard today. He's a future center. He looked good. We mentioned Nichols. We mentioned Sullivan. Jeremiah Beasley looked bigger than I expected. Yep. We're at 23. Michael Barrett's number. He looked good out there today. And then Jacob Oden too out there made a few plays as well. So Brady Priestcorn I saw out there on a couple blocks, but the young guys I thought did pretty well for a first spring game. We had a question, so I'll just tie this right into the next group here, that who stood out at linebacker from Scott. That was the one group to, and part of that was just the way they were using. Again, I'm going to have to go back and watch, because
yeah,
the defense is more different than I think we anticipated. That is true.
Right.
It definitely looked different today. I'm going to have to retrain my brain, because there's just, from watching McDonald and Minter for 3 years, I can just kind of pick things out normally right away. And today I was struggling with some of the formations. So it was definitely different.
Yeah.
We didn't see a ton of Barham, but I mean, he just, when he's out there, you can't miss him.
Yeah, right.
He's a big dude. Hausman didn't play a ton. He did make a play, kind of a similar situation. I don't know. Jimmy Roeldr made some plays, also had some mistakes again, especially in coverage as well. Jaden Hood was in there, definitely getting, you know, again, I'm going to have to see what happened in the trenches there. But yeah. I don't know if a lot has really changed for me with that group, which is we know what you've got with Barham and Hausman.
Yep.
You hope Hood and Roeldr can be those guys at that next level, but it's not a surprise. This is one of the groups that, that Michigan is going to probably target in the portal.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see that. You know, we saw Hayden Moore a couple of times too. Yes. I know he was, he was in on that, that orgy sack at the end there. But yeah, it's one of those things where you're right. You have to go back and look at the tape because a lot of their contributions can be made that don't show up
for sure
on the stat sheet or even hearing their name called. Just because their name wasn't called doesn't mean that they're not impacting the game one way or the other. So it's kind of one of those things to answer the question who stood out. It's kind of, it's, you have to kind of go back and look at the tape again and then kind of analyze it. But, you know, immediately I think you hit on all the guys that, that made plays. I mean, yeah, Hausman hit him, had a couple of good tackles, a couple of nice plays. I know Barham was mentioned. So the immediate thing, I think that's, yeah, I mean, that that's a positive. I mean, I can't sit here and totally break down the position.
Real quick on Sullivan. I don't think you moved him to edge just to move him to edge. I know Traveler's one of our loyal viewers here. My anticipation with him moving to edge is he's 6'5",
yeah,
215 right now, and I just feel like he's probably going to end up 240, 250.
Yeah.
And just develop into an edge.
Yeah.
You know, his main recruiter was Partridge. They said they could see him as a Mike linebacker. If that's what he develops into, I love it. If I just think he has the potential of added size to go out to edge. But hey, he's linebacker on the roster. He's playing with the linebackers right now. So that's where, I mean, granted, you know, the diet plan and how he works out and everything could have a factor in that too.
Yeah. I mean, he could also play that Jalen Harrell role too, where
for sure,
that linebacker edge guy. But I think a lot of the time, I know when we talk about him possibly being an edge, it's not just Michigan slotting him as an edge and saying, go have fun. It's more of how, you're right, how his body develops, you know, what he looks like with that frame. And if he adds more to that frame, he might just outgrow the linebacker spot, and which, you know, not a bad thing. I mean, the dude's crazy athletic, really aggressive. And so it just kind of, yeah, I mean, if he could play that hybrid, you know, Jalen Harrell role, that linebacker edge type of guy who can drop back into coverage, you know, I think Michigan could use that. But probably right now, yeah, he's just because of his size and he hasn't added much to his frame yet. You know, he'll probably, I mean, he'll, I would be shocked if I don't, you don't see a different Sullivan heading into fall camp, you know, getting all of that. What, how long is it? 5 months to, you know, just for full training. So it all depends on outlook and how he grows. You know, he's like a 17, 18 year old kid who should still be in high school. So, you know, a lot of that is projection, but, I mean, you can see it. I mean, he had a couple of plays out there where it's like, all right, I can see where they're going with this.
All right. Sorry. This cough started to really wreck me here. Okay. Let's talk about wide receiver. Obviously Tyler Morris, Samaj Morgan are anticipated to be the top two guys just because of experience. Morris was an interesting spot last year because I think coming into the year, you know, we talked a lot about how they were going to use him. And it felt like Morris was kind of pegged to take on that Ronnie Bell role as the Z receiver, and Roman Wilson would naturally be the slot. Mm-hmm. And then what ended up happening was Roman was just so clearly the biggest threat, not only from the slot, but on the outside, deep, across the middle, backfield, whatever, that Ronnie kind of ended up staying in that Z, or excuse me, not Ronnie. Roman kind of ended up staying in that Z role, and Morris wasn't really a slot, and that was kind of what allowed Samaj Morgan to rise, was that slot role kind of became open. So Morris kind of just lost a path to the field with how good Roman Wilson was. So this year, Morris is absolutely that Z receiver. Samaj Morgan's absolutely the slot guy. I mean, they'll move him around on end arounds and stuff, but that's kind of where they're at. The X receiver is the question mark. They have looked to the portal in the winter window for a couple guys. They didn't land anybody. Corey G just asked about Kyle Ford. He's somebody, again, that they've been talking to, just that big body X receiver. Today we saw Fred Moore, who is not your 6'4", 240 X receiver, but plays physical for his size, 6'1", 200, whatever he is. But speed. The idea of more Morris and Morgan, that's going to drive me nuts, the MO across the board.
Yeah.
That speed, that seems to be arguably the top three. Moore got a lot of hype last spring with Morgan as well. Again, Morgan just kind of had that path at the slot. And Kendrick Bell might be this year's Peyton O'Leary, right? Like,
right.
Former quarterback, kind of expected him to convert to wide receiver, which he did last year. Obviously, Ronnie Bell's brother did have that deep ball catch today. He's got the frame. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. You know, again, I don't know if it's going to translate to the field this year. But after that, yeah, Peyton O'Leary's still there as well. I mean, Jehu Chesson's brother, Dale, got some run today. But that continues to be the group where it's like, I don't know if, you know, you lost Carmelo English in the portal late as well. Mm-hmm. He was somebody we thought could probably contribute in rotations. So in terms of the portal conversation, the big outside receiver, another depth rotation piece, wouldn't be surprised. But how did you feel about, again, we didn't see a ton of Morris and Morgan today. I think Fred Moore and Bell were probably the two guys that stuck out the most in terms of receivers.
Yeah, I think Fred Moore is day one ready. I mean, he's ready to play, you know, and he will come September. It's hard to gauge Kendrick Bell right now. I think he's still probably a little ways out, but it was encouraging just to see him to make plays. So I do think they need to address the position in the portal. And, you know, I think Kyle Ford right now is probably your most realistic option. I know if Michigan pushes there, they're going to be right at the top for him. So getting that big bodied guy will help. I don't think they need to add multiple guys, but you know, who knows? I mean, the portal's still open for another week. Yeah. Another
10
week.
Days or so.
Yeah. And so you never know who's going to open or who's going to hit the portal. And you know, if it's there, go get them. But I mean, I liked what I saw. I mean, you didn't see much of Samaj. You didn't see Morris played great. I thought he had some really good plays.
He's going to be really, I think he's going to be really good this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's
near speed. The opportunity just feels like everything's kind of lined up.
Yeah. He reminds me kind of like a hybrid between a Ronnie Bell and a Roman Wilson in terms of his route running and catching and just ability to find the open field. I think that Fred Moore touchdown was a brilliant play by him. Going off of his route and finding open field when the play broke down. And then, you know, he made that play.
Ronnie was great at that. And Roman was great at that last year. That's
So Fred is, he's day one ready. Tyler Morris, day one ready. Not worried about Samaj. He's going to be there. So you're talking about three receivers right now, which is not going to be enough. You need depth there. And Peyton O'Leary, we hear about him every spring, but it just never translates to the fall. Is this the year that this happens? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think he needs to stay healthy, most importantly. So you could pencil him in as maybe a de facto four along with Kendrick Bell, but I do think they need to address the position in the portal. And if they can add a guy, you know, who knows, maybe even two, but one guy for sure with experience, that'll go a long way with kind of spelling some guys. But yeah, it's concerning a little bit the depth there, because if you have an injury to one of your top tier guys, you're going to be in trouble. So it is concerning, but they have guys that can make plays. I mean, they had receivers that make plays, even the run game made plays. So I'm not as concerned with the offense as I was heading into the game. which I think is the best case scenario. So yeah,
we knew this team was going to be defensive dominated, offense right. Do enough, don't make mistakes. But yeah.
I mean, that's their bread and butter, though. I mean, that was what they did last year too. I mean, just run it down your throat, don't make mistakes, and chew clock. And that's kind of, they did that early on. You know, they were primarily a running team this year, this spring game. So yeah, we'll kind of see. I mean, I thought Donovan looked good too. So
we haven't even gotten into that run game yet. So
yeah, and Donovan can be used as a receiver too. So there's another option. Yeah. And then we didn't even talk about the tight ends, Colson Loveland, Marlon Klein's taking a step forward this year. I think he's going to have a breakout year. So there's a lot of factors and angles you can take to kind of spell the wide receiver depth, but they need depth. I mean, yeah, you've got guys like Marion Stewart and Goodwin coming in the fall. Oh, no, Goodwin's already on campus, I think.
No.
No, he's not. He's not an early enrollee. Never mind.
Neither receiver is. Yep.
Yeah. So you got a Marion Stewart and Channing Goodwin coming in. So, you know, there's options there. They just need guys to step up and be ready.
I wanted to touch on, does Roman Wilson go in the second round? I was going to say yes. The only reason he won't is because if he goes in the first, and Corey read my mind, dude, the Chiefs have to be drooling over a guy like Roman Wilson.
I would be if he goes to the Chiefs, I'll be pissed because they don't need any more good wide receivers.
That's going to be the hard part about enough. This. With so many Michigan eligible players, like
enough giving Patrick Mahomes weapons. He already has enough. He can make his own weapons.
All right, let's talk on these two groups, because on the offensive side, I think these are the groups we feel the best about, and then we can kind of put a bow on it. But running back, again, spring game, yes, but that was a different Donovan Edwards today. From a vision, patience, the way he was cutting between the tackles, that was, again, spring game. I'm not trying to overreact. Some of the best running I've seen from him. He carried that extra weight well. God, he looks huge. He got just absolutely jacked this offseason.
Significantly bigger.
And then also, too, from a leadership standpoint, the way he was on the sideline and interacting with guys, you know, just looked like, I think Edwards is going to really take that leap because they need him to do a lot on and off the field.
I agree.
Mullings, we didn't get to see a ton of. Looked like Mullings. Benjamin Hall, again, had some good carries today. And that's kind of where it gets interesting for me is the RB3 conversation. And Jordan Marshall's not on campus right now. I think Jordan Marshall's a freshman talented enough to contribute this year, so we'll be interested to see. But Benjamin Hall and then Tavier Dunlap looked really good today.
Yeah, he had a great day.
And we've been hearing good things about him from spring, and like they talked about on the broadcast, Tony Alford, one of the first guys he brought up recently was Dunlap. So, again, beyond the two obvious starters with Edwards and Mullings, I thought Hall and Dunlap looked really good today.
Yeah, they didn't have to be flashy. You know, we talked about this all last year when Blake was struggling to get going during the early days. You know, he didn't get the 30-yard chunk plays that we saw last year. You don't really need to. Just get these 5 yards at a time. If you're averaging 5 yards a pop, you're going to be gashing defenses and they're going to get tired. And they did. And that's what Ben Hall did. That's what Tavi Dunlap did. You know, it's there's stuff there. And you know, Donovan Edwards had, I think he's going to have a great year. He's going to be the lead back, but yeah, you don't really necessarily need a RB3. If you've got guys that can play, you know, you can get Ben Hall and you can get Tavi Dunlap some stuff there too. So and I know I'm getting some questions here about Cole Cabana. He's banged up. I mean, he's been banged up he keeps getting banged up, which is tough for him. You know, just he seems to have like these stages where, you know, it's like, oh, you know, he's practicing and then banged up and then he can't play. So it's a bummer there. Unfortunate. You know, you'd like to see him healthy, obviously, and to see him kind of factor in, but it's tough. It's tough. So I don't know how he's going to factor in the future. You know, health obviously is the most important thing. So yeah, we'll kind of see what happens. But a lot to like from Tavi Dunlap too, a guy that's waited his turn, that's really, you know, could have transferred like CJ Stokes did and no one would have blamed him, but you know, here we are and he's probably going to contribute this year along with Ben Hall. So, you know, a running back with four backs who can make plays is a lot better than a room with one back that can make a play. So
those four are big, man. Those are
big. Yeah, big. Yeah, big punishing dudes that can really knock people on their butts. So
and wear them down.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the and to go along with that, too, I thought the offensive line looked decent at times. I thought they didn't do Jaden Denegal any favors. With that group, but you know, and again, the guys that we did see, they didn't have their full roster of offensive linemen there. I thought they had a good day too. They were pushing guys. So, yeah, the running game that's going to be Michigan's bread and butter. I mean, as much as you like to think, oh, Kirk Campbell and Sherrone Moore might try to revolutionize the offense a little bit because Harbaugh is no longer there. You're talking about a dude whose his nickname for the or his theme for the program is Smash. Yep. So, it's, you know, it's going to be a running mentality team, and as it should, you know, it's got them this far. So yeah, I think there's guys. I mean, a four man running back rotation. Look, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all, and I'll take it for sure.
Let's touch on tight end real quick, and then if any other questions come in, or we can circle back on some and then go from there. But again, you know what you have with Colson Loveland, right? Best tight end in the country. Marlon Klein, we've heard all spring about him and how they now consider him starter level, that tight end two, you know, replacing AJ Barner. Heard what a freak athlete he is. He had some plays today. Good to see he didn't get hurt. I was a little nervous when Cody Jones hit him and he was kind of tweak his neck a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the sophomores for this year, both of them made multiple plays today, but a guy you know I like, I've been talking about since he got on campus, Dinkin Tonelli.
Yep.
Who I've thought of as that bigger inline blocking tight end and have not really thought of him as a receiver. He looked good as a receiver today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Zach Marshall had a couple plays as well. That's another group where I'm like, okay, I know what I have with Loveland. They're really happy with the progress Klein's made. Feels like he's finally ready to step up. Tonelli and Marshall maybe taking some jumps as sophomores. And oh, by the way, two really, really good freshmen tight ends coming in as well.
Yeah.
Running back is so crucial for the Michigan offense. So is tight end. That group's looking, again, I felt good about it already, but I feel a little bit better about tight end moving forward as well.
Yeah, the big thing that I was told during spring was that Michigan really wanted Dinkin Tonelli and Zach Marshall to step up. They had a really slow start to spring, and to kind of see that matriculate into what you saw today was a lot of good things is extremely positive for the position moving forward. As you said, we know what Colson Loveland is. Marlon Klein, probably one of the most talked about players all spring outside of a couple of guys on defense, looks the part, can play the part. He's going to be a factor. And I know Kasula, Steve Kasula, tight end coach, said earlier this week, they're completely comfortable with playing, Marlon at any spot at any time during a game. And I think he's ready for that role too. And he's going to be a big part of this offense moving forward, not just this year, but into the future as well. So to see kind of the depth, you know, to develop in, you know, put in a good day's work is super encouraging, especially because, you know, being told that they were struggling to start, and to kind of see what they are now, a lot of promise there. You know, I think Tonelli's route that he took with that first really good ball that Davis Warren threw to him, wide open was really a really good route, good throw. So a lot of good stuff. So I think, you know, Michigan's going to be able to do a lot of what they did last year with the tight ends with Colson Loveland and Marlon Klein. I think they're going to be able to continue that with that AJ Barner type of role with Klein too. So I know they think he's one of the most athletic players on the roster, and you can see it. You can absolutely see it. So he's going to be dangerous this year. And that's just, again, another receiver option that takes the pressure off the receivers a little bit, obviously not fully. And I know Kirk Campbell said after the game that they're going to look at wide receivers to kind of beef up the depth there, because it is thin. So if you can answer that, if you can answer that big question, the wide receiver depth, and then get, you know, the back end of the tight end depth chart to develop and not only perform but contribute, you're rolling. I mean, you're rolling on offense, and you know, once you nail down that quarterback who can, you know, limit mistakes, you're going to be just fine.
And I think that's probably, you know, still, I'm not surprised. You know, the biggest, I think we've hit on some themes today, that the physicality is still there. The vibe around the program is still there. That continuity piece we talked about.
Yep.
The competitiveness. I think overall optimism is probably a little bit higher. We knew the defense would be good, but like some of the young guys, the depth really showed out there. The offense we feel a little bit better about, but the question's still going to be quarterback.
Yep.
And what they do moving forward. Now, look, we didn't think anybody was winning the job today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe people don't remember, but JJ didn't exactly have electric spring game performances.
No.
Right. So I think today was more about just certifying what we've been hearing all spring, which is, again, it feels like they want this to be orgy. Healthy Davis Warren is absolutely in this competition.
Yep.
Denegal has the tools, he looks the part, has some consistency issues potentially. Jaden Davis, tools, weapons. He's a freshman. He's probably a year away, right?
Yeah.
I think, and then from the portal standpoint, you know, Campbell touched on it. Brock was messaging me. Obviously, we're going to have stories up. Make sure you're over at michigan.rivals.com. Brock was in attendance for the spring game and met with Orgy, had a press conference, and then Kirk Campbell said some things as well. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was the kind of answer you would expect, where he's like, hey, we're not, you know, looking at the portal right now. What's he supposed to say?
Right.
I still think it's going to take a guy you can't turn down.
Yeah. It has to be fit. I mean, it's all about fit. There's a guy, as you said, is there a guy that is a can't miss?
Yeah,
and
I don't think it's going to be somebody just to beef up competition. It would have to be, God, I hate saying names, but somebody like a Preston Stone from SMU, a guy that's started for a couple years, has the experience, has played in some big games. It would take somebody like that, in my opinion. I don't think, and frankly, anybody entering the portal right now as a quarterback is going to be somebody who lost the competition battle at their school.
Mm-hmm.
If they're entering, I mean, that's just a fact, right? So unless the perfect guy comes along, I think they like,
dumbass,
again, from a long, yeah, so they haven't been too bad today. I was surprised. On Twitter, on the other hand, my God, if you want to pretend you don't care, Ohio State fans, you are doing a terrible job. Holy cow. No, but for the future, they obviously like Jaden Davis, and it's becoming more apparent by the day that they've hit an absolute home run with Carter Smith.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the Dante Moore pursuit, which I don't want to get into that too much from the other side of it, but that was always, I mean, if you want to come in and be a part of the competition, sure. Right. We're not promising you anything. We have dudes that did commit to us in the first place, right? So whether it's a highly rated former prospect or a guy that's intriguing with multiple years, I don't see it. Not in year one, because yes, this year matters, don't get me wrong, but I don't see it unless it's just an obvious, look, guys, we got to get this dude. You know, you'll understand, but I don't know. Again, there hasn't been, I mean, Rashad has obviously been the big story so far at Arizona State, but mm-hmm. That's just not even in the equation.
Right.
Right. So,
yeah.
But I think the theme is still the same. They want Orgy to win this job. I'm with you. I mean, I said before, if Tuttle was the quarterback, Orgy's coming on the field. Mm-hmm. You're going to see two quarterback systems because they took JJ McCarthy off the field in big games to let Orgy run the ball. He's going to play this year. Right. You know, is there a system with Warren and Orji, or does Orji take this job in the summer and become the surefire starter in the fall? You know, I don't know. And that's where we are, right? I don't know anything more today than I did yesterday when it comes to the QBs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just don't know how much Tuttle is going to impact this moving forward. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he does, but I don't know what else Tuttle could provide other than what Orji and Warren provided today.
I think he's the same guy he was last year. I think he's a leader.
Yeah.
He's a future coach. And I think he's a really solid backup.
Yeah. 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 I think at the very least, you got a guy that has experience in depth. So,
and if he wasn't injured all spring, maybe we're saying something different.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. But yeah, I think just his presence alone is going to be a positive for those guys. And that's totally fine. That's a role. It's a role. And you know, he came back for his seventh year just to have that kind of role, that's fine. I mean, he's going to be a spot. He's going to have a spot in this program regardless. Forward, yeah.
He'll be next year. Then who knows what his future is. But
yeah, I just don't know how he's going to factor in moving forward. And I really think Orji and Warren are probably, you know, heading into the fall, at least right now, fall. Those are your front runners right there. Those two are going to be duking it out. So, you know, that I don't think that's a bad thing either. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and I mean, I know I've been accused of like pushing Orji or being biased towards him, because I'm just reading what I'm seeing, right? That's what I was trying to tell you. You know, it just, again, where he's been positioned and how he's been pushed forward by this staff. And then again, the confirmation we were hearing about Warren, and look, I'm biased. I think he's an incredible human being. I think Davis Warren is just a great kid. He's an incredible story. The things he's been through. Mm-hmm. You talk about beating adversity and just, I mean, he's an incredible kid. Now that he's healthy, I'm excited for him to have a chance.
Right.
Because when he came here, that's all he wanted. And he's waited these 4 years to have it. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. And obviously we'll continue to monitor if there is any portal activity or whatever. I'm going to I'm going to go back and rewatch the game and try and make some, I'll probably post my post spring depth chart in the next day or two here on Michigan.rivals.com based on some things we've seen. And again, combining this with the intel we've got from spring practices, talking to the coaches, talking to the players, we'll definitely have some more reaction articles, some quotes again from coaches and players moving forward. We are still going to be live tomorrow, Sunday at 8 for our usual that's pretty funny for our usual Hail to the Podcast. Tomorrow will probably be pretty basketball heavy. Dusty May is cooking, and some of the meals are starting to be delivered right before we came on. Obviously Wolf finally committed. That's one we've had in the chamber for a while. But you know, North Carolina was in it for a little bit, but Dusty gets his guy there. Pippen, obviously the Justin Pippen, son of Scottie Pippen, high rising, big senior year for him. That's a nice get. And I'm drawing a blank, Josh. Sorry, I'm coming to the end of my sickness. Reuben Jones, thank you. And there were multiple transfer candidates on campus and at the spring game today as well, including a former Buckeye. We'll be interested to see how that goes. So hopefully I have a lot of basketball talk tomorrow, and then obviously still some football, and then we're looking forward to the NFL draft next week.
Oh, can't believe it's already here.
You can't. Wow. I've got all my graphics ready, so I think we're in a good spot there. But JJ McCarthy could go as high as number two, it sounds like now.
Yeah.
Some coach anonymously, I read the quote, it didn't sound like Jim Harbaugh, but my first thought when it was like, oh, Chicago's got to consider taking JJ, I'm like, that's obviously Jim.
Right.
But yeah, so two predictions before we go. Number one, NFL draft, does Michigan break the record for most players selected in the NFL draft? And I've seen a couple people, I think, I don't know if it's a Buckeye who started it or whatever, but your record, if you want to do an over under, what you think the season depends on for Michigan going into this season?
I think they will break the record. You know, I think there's going to be someone that sneaks in late that gets them over. I'm getting rid of this fucking guy. Excuse me. Excuse my language.
That's so dumb.
Going number two is in second round.
He's literally not. Right. Like, that's not a burn. You just look like an idiot.
These guys are just smooth brain morons. It's always the ones that pay their family as their profile pictures too. Nice to sell out your family.
It's just so crazy.
JJ's going the second round because he sucks.
Dumbass. Anyway. Yeah, I do think that they're going to break the draft record. I think someone like a Cornelius Johnson will sneak in late to break that record. But I do think that's going to get that'll be done. As far as the record, man, it's just so hard to predict right now. I think over under, I would put the over under on 9 wins. Yeah. I think it's just that, and that's my conservative pick. I think aggressive would be 10 wins, but I think this program's capable of winning 9 games this year. And you know, the funny thing of how, the Big Ten and how college football works out this year, 9 wins might get you into the playoffs still.
I'm telling you right now, if Michigan went 9-3 next year with their schedule, they're in the playoff.
Right.
They talked about that on the broadcast. If you're a Big Ten SEC team, like,
you're able to do that. The bias towards the Big Ten and SEC, well, even now, the bias towards the Big Ten all of a sudden is really funny to see. I mean, this was all... The
schedule's tough.
Yeah, all about the SEC, and now, you know, Michigan suddenly gets good. Now everyone starts caring about the Big Ten, you know, and starts including, like, that super league or whatever thing they were talking about, the Big Ten and SEC teaming up on. It's like, now that's finally like the Big Ten now is suddenly becoming a thing, but
it's Fox versus ESPN.
That's exactly what it is. So 9 wins, you know, I think,
the bots,
the Xbox are now coming into Facebook. Oh, that's terrible. Right. God, I hate
I'll it. Say, on the NFL draft record, I think it's going to be close. They need 16. And I think Cornelius gets drafted higher than people expect. Roman's obviously going to be up there. Corum, Sainer still, Junior Colson, right? For me, it's the offensive line. Because as much as we've heard so many good things about the Michigan O-line and them being years ahead and whatever it might be, I don't know that all 6 of those guys are going to get selected. And when you start to get to the back of the draft,
yeah,
you'd almost prefer to go undrafted,
right?
You know, those 6th and 7th rounds. So Drake Nugent's in the same spot as Olu. He has only played center. So I don't know if he's going to be able to get selected because they want guys. You only have 7 or 8 O-linemen on an NFL roster. So there's really not a spot for a backup center. So you either have to be starting center out the gate or be able to play guard. And then you look at Henderson, Barnhart, and Jones potentially all played out of position last year,
mm-hmm.
playing at tackle and, you know, that versatility with guard, but those guys all being projected at the back half of the draft, it'll be interesting to see whether they get selected or not. I think it'll be close. But yeah, Junior Colson, he could be a second rounder. I've seen a lot of places think he's, the best linebacker in the draft.
Yeah, he'll go early. He'll absolutely go early.
Yeah, a lot of the early guys, I mean, JJ's obviously first round. Jenkins is 2nd or 3rd round. I've seen Sainer still mocked to the Lions in the first round.
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, put him at nickel, move Branch to safety.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, so Sainer still's a guy that's going to be up there. Colson's going to be up there. You know, the edge guys, McGregor and Harrell, where do they go? That'll be interesting to see. I know I'm forgetting people because there's so many.
Right.
But, yeah.
See what wacky stuff Brad Holmes does with the 29th pick or whatever he has.
Yeah, he's shown he's willing to move up in the past.
Well, yeah, and it also doesn't even matter at this point because he just takes guys wherever he wants to and they seem to work out. So it almost doesn't even matter where he drafts anymore because he's just
down evaluator. This draft, because of quarterbacks, wide receivers, especially being selected up high,
yeah,
there's a lot of really, really good players in the 2nd, 3rd round. So
I do hope the Lions go defensive back though for their first. They got to. They have to. They're super thin. So, well, we'll see what happens.
Shit. Yeah, they're off season. Their former corners been a little weird.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we will be live again tomorrow. Hail to the podcast. Like I said, Sunday at 8:00. And then the following week, live at our usual time, we'll be recapping Michigan in the NFL draft. We have a special guest for that show. Anybody that's local here in Michigan, I think you'll be really excited for the gentleman we are going to be bringing on for that show. Super excited. Good friend of ours. Excited to have him join us. Other than that, Michigan.rivals.com content is already loaded up. More is going to be coming on the spring game, on the depth chart, on the football season moving forward. We're getting into the summer, so all that projection stuff. And then obviously basketball. Like I said, Dusty May's starting to cook. That roster's come together. Plenty of content there. So we appreciate you all watching us here live. A lot of familiar friends, a lot of subscribers. If you're not already, michigan.rivals.com/sign up. Would love to have you join the community. A lot of what you've seen here today and the conversation appearing in the chat goes on over inside the den all day, every day. So
I apologize for my earlier F-bomb. Sorry, not sorry, though. It was deserved.
We don't swear?
I do a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
that one genuinely slipped, though. I didn't mean to say it, but I did, because it's just a natural part of my vocabulary, I guess. But that was not.
I love that word.
It's a good word. It's probably not professional of me to do that, but you know what? Screw it. I don't care. This is my channel. This is my business. I'll run it however the hell I want to. Thank you very much.
So good. All right, I gotta go take something. I am dying, dude. My chest, oh, man. Yeah. I cannot wait for my son to be done with school this first year.
Yeah, you're good. Like, Lord,
2 weeks or a month, he comes home with something every 2 weeks, dude. I'm just So anyway, again, appreciate you guys so much. We'll see you tomorrow. And hopefully we'll see you really soon over at michigan.rivals.com. But thank you for joining us. This has been a special edition podcast brought to you by Maize and Blue Review.